Good morning. Am I rolling? Am I on? Can you hear me now? That would make a great ad campaign, wouldn't it? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Sorry. The first thing I'd like to do this morning is ask for your patience. Typically, if somebody gets up on Sunday morning to speak and the first thing that they say is, I was out really late last night, probably the response is going to be, well, you should have gotten to bed on time. I was out really late last night. We had a really exciting night last night in Gorham. Me and 4,500 or so of my closest friends filled the Cross Insurance Arena. Those of us that have been around here for a while call it the Civic Center still. I'm in that camp, but got to give the people who pay their due, I guess. And both our boys and girls teams from Gorham won Class A South Championships last night. Here's a picture of us together. My game started last night at 8:45. Started at 8:45. Are they up there? There we are. Standing on the floor over there. It was a great night. And so by the time we got done playing, we got done changing, by the time we drove through town to the fire trucks and all the garbage that goes, I mean all the wonderful things that go along with that celebration, we found out that Junction Bowl was going to open up for the players and the coaches to come over and celebrate, and so we went over and had chicken fingers, and I have whatever residual comes from, you know, cranberry juice and ginger ale. Next time I looked at my watch, it was close to 1 o'clock in the morning, and you're already experiencing the effects of that, aren't you? I apologize. We're going to be looking for the next 2 weeks. I have the privilege of sharing the book of Philemon with you for the next 2 weeks. Travis and his family are still away on vacation, and then I believe there's a group going somewhere to do something wonderful, the details of which escape me. And so he will be gone next week also. So you're stuck with me for 2 weeks. Regrettably, because we won last night, we play next Saturday night at 8:45. And for your sake, I'm praying we don't win so that I can just go home and go to bed after. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, it's a natural transition to move from the book of Colossians into the book of Philemon. It's generally believed that Philemon was part of the church at Colossae. And so we're entitling this two-week passage, New Beginnings. And in order to kind of do that, we have to let you know what's starting over. And so you need the backstory, or else the new beginning kind of is meaningless. Would you agree? So we're going to do something completely odd this morning. I feel like a Vegas magician here for a minute. I need 3 volunteers from the audience, please. Come on. Not a chance, my son, Tana. All right, here we go. So I'd like to introduce you to 3 people. This is Philemon. Everybody say hi. Hi. Philemon's going over here. Forgive me for manhandling you a little bit. I would like you to say hi to Onesimus. Okay, yep, that's where. Hey, new beginnings. We'll get there. This will be redeemed, but right now we're going to do, okay. And I'd like to introduce you to Paul. You're going to go over here for a minute. So here's the story. And I do this just so that there's a bit of a visual piece. Because there's some awkward stuff that's about to go down in this story. And I feel like if I can have you see the dynamic a little bit, it might make things a little bit easier. The history of the book is a little bit pieced together from some other places in Scripture, but here's the general idea, okay? Philemon is, we assume, some sort of a landowner, business owner, something like this. And for the sake of that generation, they kept slaves. Now, it's different than the modern-day slavery that we know, right? It's more closer to it like an indentured servitude. I owe you my work, and you'll give me house and board and that type of stuff for what you do. Or there's some contractual type of deal that goes on here. And so you can come over here now, because you've now been hired. Congratulations. Bye, Philemon. Oh, You're going to regret that handshake in a minute. At some point in time, we don't know exactly when, Onesimus goes, "See ya." And we don't know exactly, either he walked out on a commitment, potentially stole something, but he kind of is a punk, is what rarely happens. And so, go sit down over there for a minute. And he runs off. Either doesn't fulfill an obligation or takes something with him or it does something strange that he shouldn't have done and leaves poor Philemon high and dry. Thank you. Playing along. Now, Philemon at some point, and again, I'm fuzzy on this, so those of you who are historians, please correct me, but I want you to get the gist of the story. Either it was with another one of the guys, Epaphras from Colossae, or at a separate time, ends up taking a trip, come on, we're going, to Ephesus, we believe, where he meets Paul, thank you. We're going to move on from that thought. And so Paul, in the middle of this story, has the ministry where Philemon and Epaphras, either together or at separate times, can give their lives to Christ. And Paul disciples them. And what happens is both Philemon and Epaphras go back to their town of Colossae and plant a church. Right? And some of the documents say that Epaphras was the first elder bishop of Colossae, and then Philemon or his dad or his son in some, they don't really know. But so Philemon becomes a significant leader within the community of Colossae in the church there. And it's not the only, there's a church that ends up meeting in his house, and there's others as well. We know of at least one with Nympha that ran a church in her house. And so there's some other things that are going on, but he's now started a ministry in his home. Cool. Paul goes on, does whatever he does, ends up arrested. So you're now in jail. Go have a seat. You're sitting because you belong in jail. That's the way that's going to go. But so in the midst of running, Onesimus, go ahead and stand up again. Onesimus literally means useful, which you'll enjoy a moment, because Paul plays with that a little bit too. Okay? Onesimus is running away, doing whatever it is he does, and so he ends up in this place over here. And I don't know if it was while Paul was in prison or if he was still in Ephesus, or I don't really know when this happens. You can go have a seat again with Paul. Onesimus runs into Paul. Guess what happens? Onesimus meets Jesus and starts following Jesus and starts ministering alongside of Paul and becomes discipled by Paul and becomes, you ready for the new game of words here? Useful to Paul. I would love to be a part of this next conversation because somewhere in the middle of this, Paul goes, I think we got something that needs to be fixed. And so what I would like to do is, along with Tychicus and a couple of others from Colossae that Dylan talked about last week, I'm going to send you home to minister in the church at Colossae. Wouldn't you like to hear how that conversation went down? I'm sorry, what? That's not, no. I'm busy that day. Week, month, year. In fact, some commentators actually believe that Onesimus delivered this letter to Philemon himself. Awkward. Philemon probably is not excited to see this person. Philemon doesn't even know that he's coming because he's carrying the letter announcing that he's coming. Weird. In fact, it's thought that both Colossians, the letter to the Colossians and the letter to Philemon were delivered at the same time by some. And again, some think that Onesimus actually delivered the letter. I want you to imagine for a minute the relationship that you have that might be this level strained. And we've all got them. Can you imagine this person walking in the door of your home, because that's where the church met, holding a letter for you? And you don't know what it says, because you haven't had a chance to talk to this guy since he ran off and somehow messed with you. That brings us, that's the end of the back story. I'll take that letter back now, because I'm about to read it. You guys can have a seat. Thank you very much for your help. In preparation for what comes for you guys in the future, the proper response is, I would like to thank the Academy. That's where that goes from there. So Philemon then opens this letter. In this awkward situation, possibly and probably with Onesimus standing there, if he delivered the letter. Anybody else feel like this is a little uncomfortable? My son, everything with you is uncomfortable. I love you. Put your hand down. So he opens this letter. And it says, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. So Paul is writing both from him and Timothy. To Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Appia, our sister, we assume that's his wife, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. So congratulations. This awkward letter is not just for you, Philemon. This is for the entire congregation to hear. We're going to air your dirty laundry right up in front of everybody. We should be a church like... Oh, I'm kidding. We're not going to go there. Paul says this, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God always when I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, sends his greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. It's a fiery little letter, isn't it? From the standpoint of Scripture, that's the end of the story. We don't know what happens from there. Let me ask you a question. How do you want the story to end? As you sit there, how do you want this story to end? Now, those of you that spend a little too much time in Hollywood might want some sort of real fiery explosion type of a situation that kind of shatters the church. And that does your soul no good, does it? How do you want it to end? Don't worry, I'm not going to call you guys back up here to hug or anything. I think if we're honest with ourselves, in our hearts, we know what the right thing would be. Partially because Paul kind of spells it out. But partially, I think we just know. What would be better than those two men, now servants of Christ, putting their arms around each other and saying, please forgive me, and I forgive you? Are we ever more like Christ than in that moment? Do we need to go further into instructions for us as a church? I asked you as we started to think about the relationships that you have that are strained. What do new beginnings look like? What's that?
Blank slate.
Blank slate. I don't know. I understand what you mean. I don't know that I want a blank slate. I want it redeemed. I want it connected. I want to know that despite who I am, you have my heart. Right? I want to know that regardless of what has happened, for the sake of what God has given me, from what I learned from Paul, what I saw in him, I now have this life to share with you. And you've offered me something similar. That's the beauty of the gospel, right? And so, yes, I want it wiped away so, as if nothing happened, but I don't want to lose what happened either. And there's a bit of brokenness in it, and that's part of the beauty of it, I think. At least that's the beauty in my story. Beauty in my story is not that I am somehow make-believe loved. The beauty in my story is that I am fully known. The complete mess that I am. The complete broken that I am. The fact that I stay out until midnight drinking cranberry juice and ginger ale. Right? Even though I got to preach in the morning. Fully known and yet fully loved. And that's wholeness. Right? That's heaven, isn't it? I am fully accepted regardless of who I am, what I do. And yet you have in that the entire gospel. On the surface, it seems like a silly letter to include in the Bible. Go make it right. Go fix it. But I think there's a lot more going on. And next week, we'll dig a little more into the weeds for sure. I want to talk about reconciliation. I want to talk about partnering in the gospel together. But this week, I just want to give you an overview of what this little letter is. And so to get you kind of a few other questions that I have. In this story, where are you, Philemon? Where are you hurting from somebody else? Where have you been wounded, betrayed, taken advantage of, wronged. Do you see what's asked of him in this? This letter goes right to the heart of who we are as people. This goes right to the wounds that need to be mended and healed if we are to be effective laborers in the body of Christ. I forgive you. I forgive you. Where are we, Philemon, in this? Where are we needing to forgive somebody? Who is it? You already know. I already know. I already wrote down their phone number, and I'm too stubborn, too prideful, too whatever, to have picked up the phone this week, even though I know the phone call has to happen. I've got bridges to build that have been burned down through bad relationships, through misunderstandings, through frustrations, through ministry quarrels, frankly. And I got to do that this week. And when I talk to you next week, I'm now accountable. Doggone it. To make a hard call, or two, or three. And I don't know what's going to come of it. Because I don't have Paul writing a letter saying, because of your love for me, would you extend love to him? But what we do have in common is a Savior who asks exactly that. Because of your love for me, would you show love to him? In Christ. Second, where are you, Onesimus? I hate this part. Where have you wronged somebody? I forget who I'm talking to. There's none of that here, right? We're all set. I haven't wronged anybody ever. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Where have we wronged people? Where do we need to go and say, please forgive me? Please forgive me. Where do we intentionally seek out reconciliation? Here's where I need to be a little bit hard this morning. We weren't always at this church. If this posture is taken within the framework of our building, our church, this body, its members, if this posture is taken and we take the time to say, I'm sorry, and we take the time to say, I forgive you, and we actually build relationship here, how do we ever split? And it's happening everywhere. A lot of you are bringing wounds from other churches into this place. I have them too. You will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love each other. By the way that you love each other. And yet we're getting into quarrels and squabbles, and we're running away, just like Onesimus did, from our churches, from the people that discipled us, over who knows what. And again, I'm guilty. I'm not trying to talk down to anybody. I'm not trying to be condescending. That's when people talk down to you. Sorry. But we're all kind of there, right? We're all kind of dealing with those wounds. How do we fix them? Do you know what's scary? I might get rejected. It might never heal. I may not receive what I give. And if that's the motive, then don't bother. You're only going to hurt yourself more. I'm going to go ask for an apology so that they apologize to me. Never works right. Never works right. Matthew talks about quarrels in the church. If you have something against your brother, what do you do? Go to them. If your brother has something against you, what do you do? Go to them. That's not fair. It's all on me, both directions. Yep. And for those of us who are more mature in the body of Christ, we owe leadership to the rest of the body in how we deal with conflict. If I have a problem, I'm going to deal with it. If I have a problem with you because of something you did to me, I'm going to deal with it. If you got a problem with me because of something I did to you, I'm going to deal with it. Both are on me as a mature response to what it means to be a believer. So that others may see your progress. So we can grow up together in the faith. So that we can partner together in the gospel. So that we can go have conversations with people that have never heard it about what lies ahead as far as their eternal destination. Whew. Pretty crazy, right? So that, last question, we can become like Paul. Where are we like Paul? Where are we ministering? Who are we loving? Who are we bringing close? We say this all the time. The gospel moves at the speed of relationship. The gospel moves at the speed of relationship. It's why it's so important that we're connected in our community with things that don't matter eternally, like basketball championships. That don't matter eternally. We had a great night. A highlight for sure. What if those 15 boys never hear? Those young men that I love never hear, never experience Christ in their lives, never know. Who cares about a championship? Who cares? I have a responsibility connected to their soul. Their soul in the place where I'm planted. And so do you. And so do you. Wherever you are planted, please bloom and grow and share the love of Jesus with those around you. You wouldn't believe the conversations I had with parents last night going, yeah, I got to get up and preach in the morning. Wait, what? Because you don't get to know the parents during the season. But at Junction Bowl afterwards, you do. Where are we connected to our community? Where are we giving ourselves away? And there's a cost. There's absolutely a cost. You see it in this letter. Paul talks about it. What's he say? If he owes anything to you, charge it to me. Charge it to me. I'll close here. Worship team, you can come on up. This is the only one of Paul's letters, of all of them he wrote in the New Testament. This is the only one of Paul's letters where he does not refer to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He doesn't have to. He has become like Christ. I will pay the price to redeem you. There's a cost. There's a reason he says, I put this in my own hand. Right? He's writing it. It's almost contractual. I will pay. I will pay for you to fix this relationship and to redeem it. It's worth it to me. Do you know what the cost is for us? It's our heart. It's our very heart. Because if you make this investment in people, it's going to get broken. People are going to hear things and they're going to tell you off. People are going to hear things and they're going to walk away. People are going to hear things and they're not going to care about what comes in the future as far as their eternal soul is concerned. They're not going to care. Some of them will say, and like the sower with the seeds, you're going to spread the word and some are going to come and they're going to pop up and they're going to bloom and then they're going to run away. And it costs your very heart. And some people, it's not worth the cost. I'm here to tell you that if you want to experience joy overflowing, if you want to experience life to the full, give your life away. We spend so much time talking about, I have to protect us, I have to protect me, I have to make sure that I... No, we've got to grow up in Christ. We've got to be firmly rooted and grounded in an emotionally stable relationship with Jesus on a day-to-day basis, in a place where we talk to him through prayer and he talks to us through scripture, and that's a normal part of us, so that we are fully healthy so that we can overflow into other people and give ourselves away, because that's what Jesus did for us. Fair? So there's your overview in this tiny little letter. We'll get into some more specifics next week. My heart and my prayers for this little village. Travis says it all the time. I want to make it really hard for the people in this town to go to hell. I agree with that 100%. Especially the more I get involved with it. And the more I know the people. And the more I love the people that I meet. Some really, really great guys on that team. Really great guys. I have no clue if they know Jesus. I've been there 3 years. That's on me. Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, thank you for the gift that you have given us, the sacrifices that you have made on our behalf. Not as something you felt guilty to do, but something that you did out of your love for us. Lord, would you put us in places where we might know and have a heart for those that don't know you? Lord, would you draw us into the scriptures? Would you draw us into time alone with you on a regular basis that we might grow and grow up in our faith, that we might overflow into the community around us, whether it's our workplace, whether it's around our family, whether it's in our neighborhoods, in our schools, where we live, work, worship, and play. Lord, would we overflow? Would the gospel just come out? Lord, would we love each other well and be known as those who love you? In Jesus' name, amen.